see what it is before they get it.
You throw me a dove. I want a cross. Who's got a cross you can throw me? Oh, I was catching. I caught it. That's okay. So these are little olive wood crosses, because in the ministry we run, one of the small sidelines is we have an olive wood carving thing for lads or for young men with special needs. And yesterday I happened to pop in and see George and Tony and George and Amir, and they had lots of these in the rubbish bin. And I looked at them and thought, they don't look very bad. But then as you look closer, you see that there's a little flaw or a crack or a hole in them. And so we're not going to be able to sell them, because everybody wants their cross to look perfect. It's got to be smooth. It's got to really show the grain of the olive wood. It's got to be well varnished, or we use olive oil on them. But just as I was thinking for this morning, I was thinking how that might be what we want, but that isn't what we got. You might want your nice little souvenir olive wood cross, and I love to give them away, but the cross was a rubbish idea. You might not agree with me, but I think the cross was a rubbish idea. It was terrible. Except it was the only one that worked. How can we call the cross perfect when it resulted with God tied to it and dying? That doesn't sound very perfect. We often describe our own ministry as not brilliant, but it's the least worst idea we could come up with. All of the other ideas were even worse. And I really think that with Calvary, if there was a better way, we should have gone for, or I wish that God had found a better way, but there wasn't. Our lives are messy. Getting into eternity is messy. Oftentimes there are no good answers, and so that's why I wanted to start, Dawn. I am so grateful that you shared with us this morning. Because our lives are messy and rubbish too much of the time, and knowing Jesus doesn't make all of our lives perfect. Sometimes our lives get worse outwardly and seemingly inwardly as well when we know Jesus. The difference is that he comes alongside of us and inside of us and walks with us through whatever comes our way. And so it is with our work that, as we talk in a little minute about some of those things, we'll see that life continues to be messy. But I want to start with reading some scriptures, and because I enjoy saying things that wind people up, I want to tell you, contrary to what you've ever been told, you can buy your way into heaven, and it's going to cost you 83 shekels. I added it up this morning. Do we have the first slide up? 83 shekels, and I think you'll work out where I'm going with this. When I say that I've got some water for somebody who's thirsty, some bread for somebody who's hungry. Who's looking hungry this morning? Oh, there you go. Have a piece of bread. It fell on the floor. Have another one. That one did as well. Never mind. Brush it off. It'll be fine. So we've got some bread. I don't know what that's. 5 shekels. I'm from Bethlehem. It's cheaper there. 5 shekels for 4 shekels. 82 shekels to get into heaven. Not bad. 4 shekels for the bread. 3 shekels for some water. I had an invitation for a wedding, which I'm going to a wedding tomorrow as well. Didn't cost anything for that. We've got clothes in case you've forgotten to bring your shirt with you today. We've got some medicines in case you're a little bit sick or very sick. And I've got my bus card. I have got it so that I can do some visiting in case any of you end up in prison. I don't know who amongst you has been in prison before, but if you need it, I will come and visit you. I don't have much time left here in this country, but I will be coming soon. But I want to read some scriptures to you to show that the good works is the only way to get into heaven. That isn't the normal teaching that you hear from here, and I know it, but let's read scripture and see what scripture says. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Every day, outside of where I live in our project in Bethlehem, shepherds go past, and they have sheep and goats together. I didn't realize that someone who looks after goats is also called a shepherd. But they do. They're all mixed together, and I can see from their behavior it's difficult to separate them out. And God says, very much like us, that some of us think that we know Jesus, and some of us really do, and he will work out one from the other. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did give me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. For I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and didn't help you? Of course, if they'd seen Jesus, they would have. He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away for eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Those are stinging words from Christ, and ones we too easily put aside because we know that relationship with Jesus comes through faith, and that we can never buy our way into relationship with God. But starting with Jesus and going through the New Testament, we see again and again his followers reminding us that faith is seen in what we do. You cannot know Jesus and be indifferent to the suffering of those around you, especially your brothers and sisters in faith. Knowing Jesus should make you different and make you stand out. Now, I am an imperfect, flawed, very, very flawed character. I'm not very good at following Jesus. I'm a very good sheep. I'm very good at being disobedient, getting lost, going the wrong way, escaping through gaps that I'm not meant to escape through. But 8 years ago, Sharon and I, we decided as a family to be completely crazy and completely daft and come to this part of the world to try and put our faith into action. We knew that there were needs the other side of the wall, amongst people who have disabilities, and especially their families, particularly mental disabilities, anything to do with the mind. The people with physical disabilities are becoming more accepted in that community, but those who have mental disabilities, learning disabilities, whatever you want to call it, they are considered the worst in the community. Can we go to the next slide? The truth is that I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think everyone loves Jerusalem. It's the place to come. If you know Jesus, you want to come to Jerusalem. Sharon and I were a little different, that we weren't really interested in this part of the world, any of this area. There are many people who want to tell people here about Jesus. But 4 miles that way, I think it is, in the Palestinian territories, how many people want to go and tell Palestinians about the love of God? We're called to be witnesses, yes, in Jerusalem, but also not just Bethlehem. What do the scriptures say? In all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we have found, and I'm going to give you some examples, that it is possible to show people the love of Christ there. And people are desperate to see that there is hope. Let's go to the next slide. We're not the brightest bunch. Sorry, Sharon, but I don't think we are the cleverest. And so we had to call it kind of what we do, that we're trying, again, in a flawed way, in a not perfect way, to put love into action, to let people see not only that we care, but God cares for them. We're fed up of empty words, people saying, yes, 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 we love people, but as long as they're far from me. I'm not wanting to go near people who are different, whether it's poor people, people from villages who are less educated, whether it's people who don't dress in the right way, whether it's people who have the wrong cultural background. We want people to see that God loves them, and we found that it's incredible to be able to show them by what we do. Next slide, please. This lad is a lad who hit the news a couple of years ago. His name is Aziz, and he's not from around here. He's from up in the north, from Syria, I think. Syria, yeah, must be. Aziz was from the Yazidi group, and when ISIS were chasing them, they fled up Mount Sinjar. And as Aziz's family went up, he's profoundly disabled, it just became too much. They were running for their lives, having to carry this lad on their back amongst them as a family, and they just couldn't go another step. And so Aziz got put down on the ground and wasn't found for 24 hours. Because he was so disabled, he was just looking up at the sky and his eyes got burnt out. Now, this might seem like a strange, unusual situation, but let's go to the next slide. This girl is, when she comes up in a moment, Maram. Maram is from Mount here. Maram is the first girl whose family I ever heard say, we want this girl to die. I wish I never heard someone say that, but it's become too common for me to hear these days. She has challenging behaviors because she's on the autistic spectrum. And her family, I first knew Maram 16 years ago, 18 years ago, during the second intifada when there were tanks on the streets in Bethlehem. And Maram's family put her on the street to run amongst the tanks in the hope that she'd get shot. Her family had no idea what to do with her and no help, and had believed the lie that she was a curse from God on their family. It's never taught. It's not taught in Islam as it isn't taught in Christianity. But still that lie pervades through so many societies. Her family didn't know any better because nobody had ever told them. And so as a ministry, we want to go in amongst families. This is something God has done to our hearts to change them. Because I don't naturally like Maram's family. When they tell me they're going to put her on the fourth story balcony in the hope that she goes over the edge. But God's love reached out to you and me at a time when we weren't perfect. In fact, far from it. When we didn't deserve the love of God. And his love is not only for Maram, but also her family. But how would they know unless somebody goes to tell them and show them? Next slide. This is Bakar, who was malnourished over his lifetime. His family hadn't realized that he should be treated with care. They were just worried about, what comes in has to come out. So the less that he's fed, the less comes out. With our young people, we bring them in small groups. 9 groups, 1 group a week come and live with us. So Bakar comes with a small group and they spend a week with us. And we start by getting to know him and his situation and finding out how on earth can we get more food into this lad. Something as simple as nice sandwiches, food that tastes nice. Giving him some strength to stop his seizures from happening. Balanced diet and vitamins. And then in the 8 weeks he's at home, we go and live life with mum. We don't tell her what to do, but we show her the care that God has for her family, including her. The next slide, we have Bakar's brother, Yusuf. A couple of years ago, we came across him in this situation when mum had just given up and hadn't given him a drink in 2 days in the middle of the summer. Her family had told her she was worthless. Dad's wife, number two, had treated her terribly. And she'd just given up. Yusuf, because of seizures that he'd had, had lost the ability to hold a cup and to drink. And so the only way was to squirt water with a syringe into his mouth. And man, that is monotonous. It takes hours just to get a small cup of water in. But living life aside, Mum, if we have the next slide, we can see the change that can happen to a young man when month after month after month we visit. Let's go back. This is a different lad. Can we go back just one? No, it's okay. Don't worry. We'll get there. Just learning how to drink. And helping mum to endure under the feeling that all of her family give. This is another young man who we love dearly, Musa. When we first came across Musa, him and his sister were tied to a bed in the entrance of the family home. We were invited there by several organizations who had seen him and had no idea what to do. There's just no help there. And as we go into communities that are close to Christians, because Christians aren't nice people, they get to see that there's something different about the God that we follow because he causes people to care for their least. Let's go to the next slide. This is one of my favorite photos of Musa. Just at peace. And happy. We didn't know them, but invited them into our home. We didn't intend to work with profoundly disabled, but we said, we'll give it a go because our hearts won't let us not do it and not find a way. Sadly, Musa died last year because doctors wouldn't treat him because he was disabled. The hospital wouldn't allow him to stay overnight to get IV antibiotics.
But as we were at his funeral, down in his village, sat amongst the community leaders, the question started, why is it that guys like you care when our own community doesn't? And the truth is, it's not about us. We aren't nicer people. We're not better people. But God is at work in us. And he should be at work in each of us who know him. Our lives should stand out as different. Our relationship with God doesn't start because we're better people or we deserve it. It's because we're utterly terrible and Jesus paid the price. But having had Jesus pay the price, we should stand out in the community that we're in. So when we come across in the next slide, Dunya, who used to be left in a back room with a broken roof. So the sun comes in the summer and the rain comes in the winter. The open sewer running through the room, and she's left naked because she's too much trouble to put clothes on. And our team go and sit, not only with Dunya, but the mother who has done this. Because she has to learn and have an idea that something better is possible. And lastly, we've got Zane. Zane is a very high-functioning lad. He's very hyperactive, and because he's hyperactive, he gets treated badly. His family didn't know that what he needs is just some simple meds given regularly through the day. Instead, they live in a house that has been brought into ruin by this lad. But they need somebody alongside of them to show them there is a better way. There is hope, not only for Zane, but the whole family. God brings hope, but not just through empty words. When we come alongside of people and live life with them, then there is hope. I'm not a theologian, and I'm glad that there are those amongst us here this morning who are. My passion is seeing people take their faith, no matter how small and imperfect it is, and letting people see it by caring for the least. Wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, there are people who others despise. It happens in every community. And we have the possibility of showing that our God is different, because he has a heart for the least. Next slide. Zane wasn't our lad. This is our lad. This is Amar, who lives in a cage. 45 years old, because it's what the family have learned to manage his behavior. Next slide. When he comes to our center for his week, he has freedom. And he has fun and care. But just having it for 1 week isn't enough, and that's why we go into the family. That's why we live life alongside of the family in hope of something better for him in the future, something that will last beyond whether we're there, because the love of God is changing his whole family. And the final slide. Our ministry is imperfect. There are many reasons not to do what we do. Sending young people back to the situations that they come from, knowing what is taking place, and it's going to happen for years to come. Every family we work with, we expect to take 20 years to see significant change happening. The best that we're hoping for is our young people to be beaten less, fed more, dressed better. But God's love is in these families before they know him, beginning to change them as they see the example of people who love them, showing them the love of God. We got some leaflets I'd like to give you, which include somebody for you to pray for. Don't just pray for the young person, but pray for their family. And we'd like to invite you to sign up to our update so that you can pray regularly and keep in touch with us. But can I ask for a couple of things for you to pray with? And with this I finish. Would you pray for our team? Not all of them know Jesus. And yet are already getting to serve in his name. Pray for the families that they would allow us to live life alongside of them. To really be in there amongst the families. Building deep friendships despite the differences between us. I've got to leave in 2 weeks. Our visas have been turned down. And we don't know when we'll be able to come back. So would you pray for us that the door would open again for us to come back to continue leading this work? Because we don't want to see it stop. Because in every community there are those who need the love of Jesus. And when they see it, they go out and tell others about what God is doing there. And in our absence, would you pray for those who are left behind? Especially right now, we need to find an administrator, somebody who loves Jesus and can help the team be the person between us and the team when we're so far away. So would you pray for us? But also, would in some small way you try and do the same wherever God has put you? God calls each of us to show his love in the communities where we are. It's the way into heaven of showing that your life has been changed. I'm really glad that I get to be here and share about what's happening because God is at work today. Lives are being changed because God is alive. It's not perfect, it's highly flawed, but God's there in it. So thanks for being able to share with you this morning.
Thanks so much, Lawrence.